I want to read a portion of God's word just now, and it's from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. It's just a short reading. It's near the end of the chapter, verse 11 through to the end. And John is writing and saying what he saw in this great revelation. And he says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat in it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We know that God will bless the reading of his word, and we know that he'll bless it for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to turn with me tonight to this portion that we have read together in the book of Revelation. Over this past week, a significant court case has grabbed the attention of people from all sides of our community here in Northern Ireland. It has claimed the headlines in the newspapers, the Belfast Telegraph, the Newsletter, and other newspapers. It has claimed the headlines on the news bulletins, on television, and on radio. And most people were taking great interest in the outcome of that court case. The judge had to give her verdict. People were accused, and the judge had to give the verdict that she came to on that day when the court proceedings went ahead. I want to bring before you tonight the final judgment. The final judgment. Because here in this portion, we have what's known as the Great Judgment Morning, or the Great White Throne of God. Now, there's many judgments that we read about in the Word of God. It's a very interesting study just to go through your Bible and underscore all the judgments. The first one was in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned and took the forbidden fruit, and God expelled them from the garden. He put them out. Now, that was the judgment of God upon the first humans that were made in the Garden of Eden. And then there was God's judgment, or the curse, that was given to Cain in Genesis chapter 4. Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew him. And it says that the blood of his brother Abel cried unto God from the ground. And God cursed Cain. And you remember the judgment of the flood. That's the next one we find in Genesis chapter 6 and 7. And God poured out his judgment upon the antediluvian world of that day, and the flood came, and the earth was destroyed. Come into chapter 11, you have the judgment upon the Tower of Babel, when the men of that day built a tower whose top was like unto the heavens. When I was a wee fellow going to Sunday school, I thought it meant that the tower, they tried to reach up to heaven with the tower. That's not the meaning of it at all. It means that its tower was like unto the heavens, and on that tower they had the sun and the moon and all the images of the stars, and they worshipped these as their gods. And you remember that God came in amongst them, and he confused their language, and that was the judgment on the Tower of Babel. And then you had the cities of the plain in Genesis 19. And God judged the cities of the plain. That's what God did with them. No matter who likes it or not. And this morning, we were looking at the judgment upon the firstborn in Egypt. And then in Leviticus 12, you remember two priests went into the temple with strange fire, and God sent down fire from heaven and consumed these two priests, and they had to lift them and put them in cloths and carry out their ashes from the temple. Then there was the judgment upon the sons of Korah in Numbers chapter 16 when the earth opened and swallowed them. And when we come into the New Testament, there was a man and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira, and they pretended to be what they were not, and they were smote down. Ananias fell down dead, and Sapphira, his wife, fell down dead because of their sin of hypocrisy, and that was God's judgment upon them. And there's many judgments. This is only a few of them. But this judgment in Revelation chapter 20 is the final judgment. The judgment of all judgments. Through television, through films, we know what a courtroom looks like, what takes place inside it. The judge sits upon his seat with his wig on, with his scarlet garments. The accused stands in the dock, and the proceedings of the court goes on. And you can imagine what it must be like to have to stand in the dock while the judge pronounces his verdict. And we want to look tonight at the final judgment. The final judgment. It's a way at the end of time. And John is given a vision here of this final judgment. And he says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat thereon, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And the first thing I want you to notice tonight at this final judgment is the person on the throne. The person on the throne. And of course, the person on the throne is the judge. And we see in verse 12 who the judge is. He says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So there's no arguments about who's on the throne. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Almighty God is on the throne. It's interesting, when Paul preaches at Mars Hill, he makes reference to this in chapter 17 of the Acts of the Apostles, and he says, God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And you might ask me, is there a contradiction here? And of course there's not a contradiction. Because it just proves the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God. And in John's Gospel, chapter 5, we read that God the Father judgeth no man, but he hath given all judgment unto the Son. And so you see the person on the throne. People who have to stand in that judgment morning, that great judgment morning, they have to stand and face the judge. They'll have to face Almighty God, because he is the one who is on the throne. You see the person on the throne. So I think we've established that tonight. Second thing I want you to see tonight is the particulars of the throne. John says, I saw a great white throne. If you take the word great, that speaks of majesty. If you take the word white, that speaks of purity. And if you take the word throne, that speaks of authority. You see, friends, it just means this, that there will be no discrimination at this great white throne, at this final judgment. Everyone who stands there will be treated fairly. It will be a righteous judgment. Your religion will have no bearing on the judgment. Doesn't matter whether you're Protestant or Catholic, that doesn't come into it. Your riches will have no bearing on the judgment. Nobody will be able to buy their way out with an underhand payment to somebody who's in the know. My, your riches will have no bearing in the judgment. Your relationships will have no bearing in the judgment. My, if you know somebody in high up places, my, they'll not get you out of it. Your race will not get you out of the judgment. It will have no bearing. My, there'll be black and white and red and yellow and all the races across the globe. And your respectability will have no bearing on the judgment. Doesn't matter whether you're one of the haves or have-nots. There'll be no discrimination at the great white throne. And there'll be no fabrication at the great white throne. We live in days of cover-ups and leaks and papering over the cracks and brushing things under the carpet that people don't want you to know about. And all sorts of maneuverings goes on in different places. I want to tell you that at this final judgment, everything will be brought out into the open. There'll be no discrimination. There'll be no fabrication. And there'll be no corruption at this final judgment. So many areas of life today, my, there is corruption. Corruption in business. Corruption in government, underhand payments, shady deals goes on. My dear friends, it'll not happen at the final judgment. You see the person on the throne and you see the particulars of the throne. This is a righteous judgment. Third thing I want you to see tonight is the people at the throne. The people at the throne. Verse 12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." It says here in verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works." My, there's only talk here about the dead, not the living. This is a resurrection of the dead. Not only those who are physically dead, but those who are spiritually dead. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. And from where do these dead come from? He says, "Death and hell gave up the dead which were in them." The grave will give up the bodies, and Hades, which is the realm of spirits of the dead, will give up their spirits. This is a resurrection of bodies from the sea. No sinner will escape the judgment. It says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." What a moment it will be. What a moment it will be. Men of importance, as well as people of unimportance. The great names of this world, as well as the unknowns of this world. My dear friends, the one thing that these people have in common is this, that they have died without Christ. They have died in their sins. The great and the mighty, the poor and the lowly, will stand at the judgment bar of God. People like Judas Iscariot. What a privileged position he had. He lived with the Master for 3 years, over 3 years. He listened to the greatest preacher that ever lived, that ever walked the sands of time. He saw the miracles that he performed. He had a privileged position within the 12. And yet this man, my, he denied the Lord. He betrayed the Lord. People like Judas Iscariot, who were privileged. People like King Agrippa. When the Apostle Paul gave his testimony, Agrippa came to him and he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." Here was a man, and God took a dealing with him in that meeting, in that room, and he was almost persuaded, but that's as far as it got. And that's what happens to people at times in meetings like this. They know they need to be saved. They know they're lost and they need a savior, and they're almost persuaded, but never altogether persuaded. People like Felix. And Felix trembled under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, but he only trembled, he never trusted. And people tremble and people shed tears, but they need to trust. People like the rich young ruler, he knew that there was a need in his life. There was something missing in his life, and he came to Jesus and he said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And when the Lord let it out for him, he went away sad. He wasn't prepared to lay go of the life that he lived and throw his lot in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, the people. We see the people at the throne. See the person on the throne, God Almighty. See the particulars of the throne. It's a great white throne. It's a righteous judgment. See the people at the throne. And then we see in this passage the purpose of the throne. It says here, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." The books were opened. Yes. "And the dead were judged out of everything that was written in the books." That's the purpose. It's a judgment throne. It's a judgment morning. It's the final judgment. My dear friends, the purpose of the throne is judgment. In verse 12 here, it talks about the books, and it says another book was opened, which is the book of life. And in verse 15 we read, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life." And then over the page in chapter 21, on verse 27, it says, "And there shall no wise enter into it," that is, into the eternal city, "anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." And so here we have books. They have books in heaven. What a moment it will be. Men of importance, as well as people of unimportance. The great names of this world, as well as the unknowns of this world. My dear friends, the one thing that these people have in common is this, that they have died without Christ. They have died in their sins. The great and the mighty, the poor and the lowly, will stand at the judgment bar of God. People like Judas Iscariot. What a privileged position he had. He lived with the Master for 3 years, over 3 years. He listened to the greatest preacher that ever lived, that ever walked the sands of time. He saw the miracles that he performed. He had a privileged position within the 12. And yet this man, he denied the Lord. He betrayed the Lord. People like Judas Iscariot, who were privileged. People like King Agrippa. When the Apostle Paul gave his testimony, Agrippa came to him and he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." Here was a man, and God took a dealing with him in that meeting, in that room, and he was almost persuaded, but that's as far as it got. And that's what happens to people at times in meetings like this. They know they need to be saved. They know they're lost and they need a Savior and they're almost persuaded, but never altogether persuaded. People like Felix. And Felix trembled under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, but he only trembled, he never trusted. And people tremble and people shed tears, but they need to trust. People like the rich young ruler, he knew that there was a need in his life. There was something missing in his life, and he came to Jesus and he said, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And when the Lord laid it out for him, he went away sad. He wasn't prepared to lay go of the life that he lived and throw his lot in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, the people. We see the people at the throne. See the person on the throne, God Almighty. See the particulars of the throne. It's a great white throne. It's a righteous judgment. See the people at the throne. And then we see in this passage the purpose of the throne. It says here, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." The books were opened. Yes. "And the dead were judged out of everything that was written in the books." That's the purpose. It's a judgment throne. It's a judgment morning. It's the final judgment. My dear friends, the purpose of the throne is judgment. In verse 12 here, it talks about the books, and it says another book was opened, which is the book of life. And in verse 15 we read, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life." And then over the page in chapter 21 and verse 27, it says, "And there shall no wise enter into it," that is, into the eternal city, "anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." And so here we have books. They have books in heaven. What a moment it will be. Men of importance, as well as people of unimportance. The great names of this world, as well as the unknowns of this world. My dear friends, the one thing that these people have in common is this, that they have died without Christ. They have died in their sins. The great and the mighty, the poor and the lowly, will stand at the judgment bar of God. People like Judas Iscariot. What a privileged position he had. He lived with the Master for 3 years, over 3 years. He listened to the greatest preacher that ever lived, that ever walked the sands of time. He saw the miracles that he performed. He had a privileged position within the 12. And yet this man, he denied the Lord. He betrayed the Lord. People like Judas Iscariot, who were privileged. People like King Agrippa. When the Apostle Paul gave his testimony, Agrippa came to him and he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." Here was a man, and God took a dealing with him in that meeting, in that room, and he was almost persuaded, but that's as far as it got. And that's what happens to people at times in meetings like this. They know they need to be saved. They know they're lost and they need a Savior, and they're almost persuaded, but never altogether persuaded. People like Felix. And Felix trembled under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, but he only trembled, he never trusted. And people tremble and people shed tears, but they need to trust. People like the rich young ruler, he knew that there was a need in his life, there was something missing in his life, and he came to Jesus And he said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And when the Lord laid it out for him, he went away sad. He wasn't prepared to lay go of the life that he lived and throw his lot in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, the people, we see the people at the throne. See the person on the throne, God Almighty. See the particulars of the throne. It's a great white throne. It's a righteous judgment. See the people at the throne. And then we see in this passage the purpose of the throne. It says here, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." The books were opened. Yes. "And the dead were judged out of everything that was written in the books." That's the purpose. It's a judgment throne. It's a judgment morning. It's the final judgment. My dear friends, the purpose of the throne is judgment. In verse 12 here, it talks about the books, and it says another book was opened, which is the book of life. And in verse 15 we read, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life." And then over the page in chapter 21, on verse 27, it says, "And there shall no wise enter into it," that is, into the eternal city, "anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." And so here we have books. They have books in heaven. My dear friends, what a torment for all eternity. What a tragedy. Being brought up in privileged Ulster and spending eternity in the lake of fire. I want to tell you, at the great white throne of God, there'll be no probation. Sometimes people are found guilty and they're given probation. There'll be no probation. There'll be no purgatory. There'll be no pardon. There'll be no pity. Ask yourself the question tonight, dear friend. Ask yourself the question, in my present condition, as I live tonight, as I am tonight, am I going to stand before the great white throne on that great judgment morning? Am I going to be cast into the lake of fire to be tormented forever? And the answer to that question is this: if you die without Christ, yes, you are. Maybe not too nice a subject to take. Maybe the preaching is not too popular in these days in which we live. But we're not called to be popular. We're called to be faithful. Called to be faithful to God's word. But friends, the thing is this tonight: how can we escape this terrible judgment morning? I want to tell you this evening that there's no need for any person in this evening service to have to stand at that great white throne on that great judgment morning at that final judgment. There's no need for any person here to stand there, because the good news of the gospel comes. And the good news of the gospel is that God loves you. That Christ came into the world to go to Calvary's tree. And the Son of God on that old rugged cross shed his precious blood for poor lost sinners and suffered in our guilty room instead. He suffered in my place and died for me. Made a sacrifice for sin. Made an atonement that satisfied every demands of a holy God. And so satisfied the Father that on the third day he raised his Son from the dead to be a living Savior. And grace reaches out tonight. Grace reaches out to men and women and offers them a full and free pardon if they'll only come to Jesus. If they'll only come and trust him. We were thinking this morning about being under the blood. Dear friend, you can be under the blood tonight. You can be sheltered tonight. And if you're sheltered under the blood through faith in the Savior, There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to all that are in Christ. There's no need for you, young or old, to stand on that great judgment morning, because Christ has died and risen again and lives in the power of an endless life to save all that will come unto God by him. You know, quite a number of years ago, before I went into the ministry, we're going back a wee while now, that means before 1980, because that's when I went into the Lord's work, before 1980, when I was preaching about, I wasn't living in Lisburn then, but there would be times our phone would ring, and at the other end of the phone, there was a man that many of you will know here tonight, Theo McKibben. And Theo McKibben was the head man down in the CWU in Lisburn there. And because he knew I was from Lisburn, you know, he used to bring me down to preach maybe on a Saturday night or on a Sunday night or even on a Tuesday night at the women's meeting. And in those days, the ground floor of the CWU in Lisburn was absolutely full of women. And one Saturday or Sunday night, it was one of the two, I was preaching in the CWU just as a young fellow. And I preached that night on the great white throne of God. And when the meeting was ended, went to the door, was shaking hands with the people. And you know, I could see Theo bustling up the aisle through the people. You know the kind of character he was. And when he got near to me, he said to me, "Hey boy, you're needed down here. You're needed down here." And so I left what I was doing and went down, and to a young couple, young man and a young woman, waited behind, because they knew that if they went on in their life the way they were living, then they had no hope that they were in danger of standing at the great white throne when the books were being opened and being judged out of those things that were written in the books. And that night, the dread and the danger and the fear was taken from them, and they left that hall that night with peace in their heart and with assurance in their soul, as they bowed in that little room and trusted Christ. Oh, that we might see more of those days today. Oh, that we might see more of them today. Sadly, we don't. Dear friend, tonight, if you're not saved, you'll have to face God, Almighty God. You'll have to face him in your own shoes. He'll open the books and the evidence will be produced, and the judgment will be given. But I want to tell you tonight, I want to end on good news, that there's a Savior, a blessed, loving Savior whose name is Jesus. And he can save you if you'll come to him. As many as come to him, he will in no wise cast them out. May God speak to your heart tonight. May you be wise concerning your soul. May you trust Christ as your Savior and leave this place with peace and joy and hope.